We are joined, I believe, now by, I'm sorry, looking for my notes. Michael Kiefer, are you there, sir? Hello?
Yes, Phil. Yes,
hi.
Hello. I'm here. Yes.
I'm embarrassed by that, but I had one hand full of notes, and I looked at the wrong one. And now you're speaking, and it's coming up on May 13th, Wednesday, at 7 p.m., and at the Beth Satoon, which is 612 Markham Street. You are a professor emeritus from Guelph University. You were also you graduated to the military college, university. I forget the exact label.
The Royal Military College.
Royal. I think I have trouble saying Royal. Royal Military College.
That's right, in Kingston. That's getting on for 45 years ago.
Yeah, and you graduated with Mark Gagnon. Is that his name?
Mark Gagnon, yes. We were classmates. That's right.
Our cosmonaut.
We were in the same. Yes, that's right. We were in the same class. Yes.
Well, of course, he rose higher than you. now, you've got a great book, Hard Truths for Canada, about Israel and Palestine, and I assume that's going to be the theme of your talk.
Indeed it will, yes.
On the 13th at
Betsitu. It's actually a book launch, so I'll be talking, and there'll be a Q&A session. And
the book will be available there for $15.
The book will indeed be available, yes.
And when we say $15, that's a bargain.
It is a bargain. It's a slender book, of course, but it's the book that I think makes a number of forceful points and does them in a well-substantiated way.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is this is your second book that I'm aware of on sort of on this topic. You wrote a book on anti-Semitism.
Yes, 5 years ago, I was the editor and co-author of Anti-Semitism, Real and Imagined, which collected responses to the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism, which was a very dodgy and ill-conceived and, I think, dangerous initiative.
It certainly embittered a number of people. That was a nasty debate. I noticed your book was, that book, was it that was praised by the present finance minister of Greece?
In fact, yes, it was. Yes.
And Globe columnist Mr. Kaplan, I believe.
Yes, Jerry Kaplan wrote a flattering piece, including that book, along with a couple of others, in one of his columns in the Toronto Globe and Mail.
Yeah. Now, let me just start with something. A little note you sent along. On the cover of the book, there's a photograph of really sophisticated-looking shells sitting behind a tank, and you just identified those as U.S.-made M109?
Yeah, that's a it's a 155 millimeter. That's the caliber of it. Self-propelled artillery piece. The state of Israel has hundreds of these things. I'm not sure how many. According to Wikipedia, it's 600. That sounds like an excessive number.
It's a chilling picture. By the way, when was the occasion of that? Do you know the what?
I don't. I've seen photographs of the same. Self-propelled artillery pieces firing on Gaza.
Uh-huh.
We know from the testimony of IDF soldiers that these fearsome artillery pieces have been used in shelling civilian districts in Palestine. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting when one looks at the cover as well to see the variety of different shells. There's obviously high explosive shells. There are some that I would guess to be white phosphorus shells, and there are probably dense inert metal shells as well, which produce dreadful shrapnel wounds.
Well, this is you call it a 155 millimeter. And what does it do? Do you know?
It's a heavy artillery piece.
Uh-huh.
It's designed for modern warfare. You know, kind of army to army, but it's being used. It was used in the Israeli attack on Gaza last summer to bombard civilian districts within Gaza, and it caused the results of that shelling caused horrendous casualties.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Professor Michael Kiefer, a professor emeritus at Guelph University. The book is Hard Truths for Canada about Israel and Palestine. I noticed over the weekend that an Israeli organization, a peace group, I believe, issued a report which was based on interviews with Israeli soldiers. about their behavior in Gaza. That must be very relevant to your talk at Beth Zetoun on May 13th.
It is indeed, yes. There are organizations of very courageous young Israelis who have come forward to tell their compatriots and to tell the world the truth about what they experienced in their military service. And the stories they tell are heart-rending, because these people were ordered to carry out basically atrocities against principally a civilian population.
Yeah. You know, I find this, it's so important that it's the kind of hard work that scholars like yourself and others do of getting to those people who actually, who've been interviewed, who actually engage in the business. And when we had Vietnam, the war went on and on, and everybody was denying illegal or improper conduct by American soldiers. But then American soldiers began to say out of their own mouths what they had done.
That's quite right.
And one of the phrases they used to hear was, well, shoot, kill anything that moves.
Yep.
Which is, I must say, my knowledge of history, reading Tolstoy, etc., that seems to be a rather common command on the battlefield.
It's one thing to give a command like that on a battlefield, but when the battlefield becomes somebody else's city, what you see moving are, in most cases, civilians, and it's at that point that it's when you have something resembling the kind of free fire zone commands that were given by American senior officers to their troops in Vietnam, that you have atrocities, and we know from the orders that were given to IDF forces this past summer that the Israeli army has very much relaxed its already dangerously loose standards with regard to what soldiers are expected to do when entering civilian areas. So they were basically...
Yeah, by the way, one of your themes is the Anti-Terrorism Act. I know you're addressing that of Harper, and we are drifting into a situation where major powers, so these are all NATO people, who are beginning to be kind of mealy-mouthed or speak out of both sides of their mouths about torture, about spying, about assassination, and you tie that, of course, also to the subject of Harper's enthusiasm for an Anti-Terrorism Act.
Yes, I mean, there are several things. The two principal things that I say about the Anti-Terrorism Act are, first, that it is in large part very clearly designed as an act intended to frighten people out of engagement in solidarity work with the to end the oppression of the Palestinian people. In other words, to peacefully persuade the State of Israel through economic pressure to respect international law. Mm-hmm. And if one looks at the wording of some of the clauses in the Anti-Terrorism Act, it's criminalizing, for example, and I'm quoting, activities that take place in Canada and undermine the security of another state, unquote. Now, an act that does that, they're clearly not worried about anybody undermining, let's say, the state of Iran or presumably the state of Venezuela or Russia. That is quite obviously intended to provide a legal lever to criminalize behavior that the state of Israel says is damaging to its security. Mm-hmm. Or again, an activity, here's another quotation, that causes serious harm to a person or their property because of that person's association with Canada. Now, that might seem so vague as to be meaningless, but what it clearly refers to is the economic interests of people, for example, who have enterprises operating illegally by international law on stolen land in the occupied Palestinian territories. Now, a government, the only reason, by the way, that Palestine solidarity work is necessary in this country is that our government and other Western governments have been systematically flouting international law. The Fourth Geneva Convention says, you're not allowed to move your own population into militarily occupied territory. You're not allowed under international law to seize territory by force and take away people's homes and give them to your own people. Well, we are winking at the Israelis doing precisely that in occupied Palestine. And similarly, the International Convention on the Suppression of Apartheid has clauses that reflect back on the signatory powers. Mm-hmm. The Fourth Geneva Convention binds all the countries that have signed it to ensure respect for the terms of this convention. Mm-hmm. In other words, you don't just watch the convention being cast aside elsewhere. You are supposed, as a signatory, to take action. Now, what Canada has done more conspicuously than any other state is to throw aside international law, and it's part of a pattern of systematic lawlessness, I think, by this government. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a government whose prime minister and justice minister will stand up and, with spouting open falsehoods, will abuse the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Canada. Mm-hmm. And they were rightly rebuked for that, not merely by figures across the legal profession in Canada, but internationally. People were shocked that... Yeah. That a head of a prime minister and a justice minister would do such a thing. So we have a kind of a consistent pattern of behavior. Bill C-51, the other thing it does, in addition to attempting to criminalize the solidarity work of people who declare themselves to be systematically and completely anti-racist, which means opposed, among other things, to anti-Semitism. What the act also does is to sneak torture in kind of by the back door. There are clauses in the act which permit CSIS agents to get judicial approval, but simply going to a judge without necessarily presenting evidence, to engage in activities that violate Canadian law, including the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And what's written into the act is a statement that while violating Canadian law, CSIS agents are not to sexually violate Canadians, they're not to kill Canadians, and they're not to impede, obstruct, and whatever else, the course of justice, mm-hmm. Willfully, which means they can do it if they're not doing it willfully. Uh-huh. Now, what that means, basically, those are the key things that the torturers in the American Gulag got international attention for, right? Sexual mm-hmm. violation, murdering people, and so on. What the wording of the act is effectively doing is saying things beneath that are okay. In other words, CSIS agents, by the Anti-Terrorism Act, will be authorized with a secret judicial warrant to waterboard people, to subject people to stress position torture, to violate the law in all kinds of other ways. Now, anyone who knows the scholarship on modern torture knows that the whole point of most of the techniques applied in the American Gulag is that they're primarily psychological torture. They're aimed through solitary confinement or sensory deprivation to break people down, to reduce people to a state of kind of psychotic dependency on their interrogators. And what this act is doing is telling CSIS, you can get a judicial warrant and then do anything you want, basically as long as it doesn't leave marks on people.
What a dangerous thought. And by the way, we also have professionals, and now the professional associations, psychologists, et cetera, are starting to go after their members because they've been asked to engage in this, haven't they?
In the United States, very certainly, yes. There's been an open scandal for over a decade.
Yeah, but it only take about 5 minutes in Canada to get the same thing.
Exactly, yes. once you open the doors to that kind of behavior, you're in very deep trouble. And we have, I mean, one shouldn't forget that this is a prime minister who prorogued Parliament in order to shut down a parliamentary committee that was hearing evidence of senior-level malfeasance relating to torture in Afghanistan. Right? This is not a government that has any principled objection to torture.
Doesn't have powerful morals or ethical reputation at this point.
Indeed not.
Yeah. Well, this is Professor Michael Kiefer. He's speaking Wednesday, May 13 at 7 p.m., 612 Markham Street, at the wonderful Betzatun Emporium. It's a good room, as they say.
It's a wonderful place.
And we're really glad you're in town. The book is Hard Truths for Canada about Israel and Palestine, and you can get a copy. It's a book launch, so we hope everybody attends. Thank you very, very much, Professor Kiefer.
Thank you very much, Phil.
It's a pleasure talking to you. Bye-bye.